crazy.
Tune into the American dream. Throw the fist up one time for the team. 17 band is about to make it 18. Threes up, C's up, rep if you bleed green. Two J's on them. You know the game ain't the same. Play dumb, I'ma get smart on them. Man to man, 2-3 or 3-2 zone. It really don't matter when we send that ass home.
Shot, don't freeze. We move the ball on the court with ease. Turn your radios on, the TVs. Relax, kick back, tune in to see the breeze. Game on the line, last shot, don't freeze. We move the ball on the court with ease. Turn your radios on, the TVs. Relax, kick back, tune in to see the breeze.
Yeah, what's going on, everybody? It's your boy Wayne Breezy and the Queen Lamb Bright. What's going on, baby girl?
What's up? What's up?
How y'all doing? What's up? It's so much better when the Celtics get a W, because I feel like the energy is just going to be so fire on today's show.
Yes, excellent, excellent, excellent. We came out. I'm so excited to talk about it. It's just, woo, so many good things, so many good things.
Really good, really good. Now, before we get the show started, let's go ahead and get through these formalities real quick. Listen, make sure you follow our account on Twitter. We are at CBreezeP. You can also follow us on IG at CBreezePodcast. And there's our email address if you want to reach out to us. That's CBreezePodcast@gmail.com. We will only be streaming live on Twitch. So you can go to twitch.tv/WayneBreezy. That's your boy. And you can also go to our YouTube channel and subscribe. Like, comment, and do all that good stuff. That's youtube.com/WayneBreezy. And if you want to listen to the podcast, because that's what you guys like to do, you like to listen to your podcast, make sure you go to anchor.fm/shootthebreeze. You can find us on Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and all the other podcasting networks. Ladies and gentlemen, we are your hosts for today's show. It's going to be a great show because the Celtics did exactly what we thought they would do. They went out and punched the juggernaut in the mouth
and felt good about it too. Did you see the hypeness, how excited everybody was? They
were
ready to fight, and it's amazing. Woo! So much to talk about. So much.
Very, very much so. So let me just get your thoughts real quick, because last night the game was, it started off really slow. We'll recap the game. It started off really slow. Now, for those that don't know, the Celtics won 125-119 in Boston. All right, in Boston. Now, this game started off really slow, Keish. Like, really slow. The Nets came out guns blazing. They were hitting threes.
And they were hitting the threes. We had a couple of questionable calls right off the jump. So it kind of threw out the rhythm. So when they were, I think it was like 19-4, I was like, oh Lord, this is going to be a long night. It's going to be a long night. But then, woo, they just turned it around. And I just feel like the execution was a full 48 minutes of execution. Like, once they got through that little lull, all of a sudden they kind of turned it up. And when they closed that half on that Marcus Smart three, I was like, oh, wait, Marcus Smith feeling it. I think it's going to be a good game. I think we're going to be fighting. Man, they fought. They fought. And that's all I wanted them to do. And for some reason, even though we started slow this time, I felt more confident about them winning this game than them winning game one. So that was something that I was like, okay, let's roll. So,
yeah, I mean, they were home. And so I knew off the bat, like, they just needed to be home, you know. And I know Brooklyn is only what, four hours away, maybe about 4.5 hours, I would say, away from Boston. But these players could not wait to get to Beantown and do exactly what I knew that they could do, you know. And I was sitting here, I'd be on Locker Room, I'd be in all these different chats, and people think I'm crazy, Keish. They think I'm crazy when I sit there and say, yo, the Celtics can beat this team.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
With all the firepower that they had, they could beat the team. Listen, and speaking of beating this team, let me tell you, it's not like, you know, the Brooklyn Nets laid down and let us have this one. They fought to the end.
They surely, you know, did. Saying? Look at the numbers that they put up. Like, no lie. Kevin Durant and James Harden by themselves, I think they all put up, between all three of them, 96 points. It wasn't like, you know, we contained anybody or anything else. It literally was us fighting like through this game and really just sticking with it. It like we kind of prevented them going on a huge run. We defended, like even with Kyrie being slightly off, it wasn't enough to me, in my opinion, that caused us that much of a stress. I mean, this is with Kemba not really doing much. So, I mean, I think it makes a difference when you actually come out and say, you know what, I refuse to lay it down and let them just do whatever. I'm going to fight it out. And they really did. I mean, the energy was completely different. And I know it's because they were in the garden. But I also think, after what happened with Jason, and I think they literally just were like, you know what, I'm sick of this. I'm tired of being tossed. Let's fight. And they came out with the right attitude.
They sure enough did. They sure enough did. And here's the numbers right here to prove it, right? So they were the Brooklyn Nets were 38 for 84. They were shooting 45.2% from the field. They were 16 for 38 from the three, 42.1%. All right. Their free throws, 27 of 31. They had 31 attempts. They had 31 attempts.
You gotta be kidding me. We'll talk about that. I know we're gonna hit on that.
they shot 87% from the free throw. They had 37 rebounds, 10 were offensive, 16 assists. All right, 3 blocks, 8 steals, 9 turnovers, 30 points in the paint, and they had 23 personal fouls. Now on the other side, Boston, 45 for 89. So they shot 50.6% from the field, 16 for 39, 41% from the three-point line, which means it was relatively close. That's good for Boston because they don't have the three-point weapons as the Nets. And luckily, Joe Harris was off, like, because he was getting wide open looks. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Mm-hmm. From the free throw line, 19 for 23. They shot 82.6%. We had 23 attempts. We had 8 less attempts at the free throw line.
Yep.
This is where we killed them. This is where I think the Celtics kind of like played their role, and we can chalk it up to a man named Tristan Thompson. But
it is
46 total rebounds, 13 were offensive. They had 13 offensive rebounds. And here, the Celtics, for the first time, like out-assisted the other team.
Yes.
21 assists, 3 blocks, 5 steals, more turnovers. They had 13 turnovers. They scored more in the paint thanks to some of those Tristan Thompson putbacks.
Yep.
And they had committed 25 personal fouls. So it's not like the Brooklyn Nets like laid down and said, you know what, we're going to let the Celtics have it. I was hoping by the third or by the fourth quarter, if we went on some type of run and went up by like 13 to 15 to 17, they might have pulled their starters out. But no, this game went right down to the wire.
Right. And like you said, I mean, yesterday we actually looked evenly matched. I mean, even with Joe Harris off, I think we came out and we executed. And not only did we execute it, you could actively see everybody in the paint trying to get those rebounds. So Tristan was fighting. Kemba, again, didn't have a great offensive night, but defensively, I was proud of him because I'm like, he could have let his off shot kill how he would play, but you could see he mentally was like, look, if I can't get a shot, then I'm gonna try to make it up on the other end. So there was one play, I think he got stripped and he lost the ball, and I was like, Kemba, but then he tried to make it up on the other end. It actually kept the transition transition goal from going in. So I just think, you know, if Kemba tomorrow can get us some good work in, and we can get him, you know, doing what he did yesterday, maybe to not at that extent, but get him cooking and going, we should have no problem again. I mean, in that same attitude, with 17,000 Celtics fans in the stands, it's going to be bananas, absolute bananas. And I think they're going to bring that same fight tomorrow. I just feel like the swagger is there. They know what they're capable of. And even, and I got it, you know how I am about Grant Williams. I got to give Grant Williams some credit too. Like,
finally! He
did, right?
Jeez! It's like, what do I got to do to get my boy Grant some respect around here, man? He gets no respect. You know what I'm saying? I try to tell everybody he is the hustler of the year. You know, the things Marcus Smart was doing his rookie year, you see Grant Williams come in and exude a bunch of hustleness.
Yeah.
And energy.
Yeah. And I was, you know me, I'm always concerned because I'm like, sometimes, I mean, like you said, everybody makes those mistakes, but he was so good as our small five. And really, not only was he good, Grant came out with some swagger. He was mean mugging people, getting in faces. I mean, he brought that energy that they needed, that, you know, we're losing Rob now. So it's like, okay, what are we going to do? Grant picked up the mantle and came out and handled business. I got to give the kid credit. Like, I was proud of him yesterday. I couldn't believe it. I had to apologize for my slander.
I see things in certain people, you know what I'm saying? And I'm trying to, just to help people see these little things, man. I know he hasn't, you know, progressed to the player that he should been, but you got to factor in the fact that these young guys that we've drafted, man, they have not played summer ball. They haven't played in the G League or whatever league you want to call it now. And so there's a lot of factors to why they're not fully developed, or they're not even further along developed, and they're developing as they play throughout the season. And so when these guys got to come in the game and get minutes in a playoff game to where they can go down 3-0. Shout out to Brad Stevens for having the BALLS to put these players in the game. I mean, seeing Romeo Langford early on the court was amazing. You didn't see Smith until like the third quarter, second, you know, sometime in the second half. So he had to go out and use these young fellas to come in there. Kemba Walker, like you said, could not get it going. He only had 6 points. And so Kemba Walker was not... I don't know if you want to chalk it up to the injury that he's dealing with or what, but Kemba Walker just did not look the same. And so when you go and you check out the stats from the players, you know, Jason Tatum finishes with 50, played 41 minutes, 6 rebounds, 7 assists, 48, 37 minutes. Marcus Smart, 39 minutes. Kemba Walker did play 34 minutes, mm-hmm. but he only had a total of 6 points. Now, I'm going to tell you where I thought Kemba Walker was effective mm-hmm. in this hustle game. Yeah. He never gave up on the play. He yep. was chasing down, trying to make plays on the defensive end. He wasn't getting beat up and bruised on the defense. They were going at Kemba Walker. I think when teams are going at a player, they struggle. They get in foul trouble. Kemba yep. Walker had 5 fouls. Was he playing with 5 fouls again?
Yeah, he was.
Evan Fournier was playing with 5 fouls, right?
Yep. And I think, but I was okay with that because Marcus had it going. And this was one of those games where I was all right with Marcus handling what he needed to handle. Marcus taking those shots. But also, the way Marcus was taking shots didn't seem like he was trying to take a bunch of shots. He right. actually was looking for players to be able to get some kick out, some assists. And then the ones that he was hitting, I think he felt so confident in what was going on and how he was able to facilitate that he knew those shots were going in. So it was good, even though Kemba was off, he was able to kind of offset what Marcus was able to do offensively with his defense. So then Marcus didn't have to be so hard on both sides of the ball. And that was a great thing. That worked for us. So, yeah, I mean, I think, like I said, when we had our last podcast and I was saying how Marcus really, I wish he would come from bench. You know what I mean? Because he needed to be more of a facilitator. Yesterday was an example why. Because Marcus, when he's cooking and he's not having to put as much work on defense, he's so good offensively. Like, you can see and feel his confidence. And I mean, it helps that JT dropped the 50 nugget down. You know what I mean? It just everything aligned right. That
nuggets!
Right.
Nuggets!
Nuggets!
Man.
Are we going to talk about
that? That's a lot of nuggets.
Dad, are we going to talk about that now? Because
you want to get right to the Nuggets?
Man.
Let's get to the Nuggets.
Oh, my goodness.
We don't got to keep people all day. They know that the Celtics won. You know what I'm saying? They know that. Look. 50. 50. Now, before we get into some clips and we talk a little bit about it, here's what some of the people out there, you know, in our world, they've been talking. So shout out to Adam. You know, 4 50-plus point games from Jason Tatum in less than 2 months. That's unreal.
Unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Like, literally, Jason Tatum is making and dropping historic numbers over the last 4 weeks. Like, I think out of the whole NBA, there's been 450 point games. Jason has had 450 point games or 50 plus point games by himself. So he's already like tied with the entire NBA. This kid, I think beyond special. I think special is just not even a word to even describe how much of a generational talent he is. And the amount of disrespect that I feel that he gets it just doesn't fathom. I just can't make that connection. Like, people talk about Luka, they're talking about John Morant, they're talking about Jimmy Butler, and this 23-year-old kid. Now, I know Luka's younger, so yeah, they're pushing the Luka thing, but 23-year-old kid dropping numbers like this. 23-year-old kid being the best player with three Hall of Famers on the court yesterday. Jason Tatum was the best player last night, period. Hands down. I don't care what, and I love, the thing that I loved about it was he drove to the basket. He was aggressive. He made sure that he got in KD's face. Even when KD was trying to disrupt him, he didn't care. KD meant nothing to him. And he showed him you meant nothing to him. When he hit that last shot, I think when we were like 120 and he hit that two-pointer, it just came and just shot it, and that was him. He iso-balled him, and then KD tried to do his whatever. JT was like, no, I'm the man tonight. This is my house. This is my court. That's the JT that I love, and that's the one that we typically see. And I think that it's great that he's able to get out there and handle business and play like he played, because we know what he's capable of. And because he knows what he's capable of, being at home, he's going to come bring it. I think he needed that game. He really did. He needed that.
Yeah, the moment I saw him, I don't know if you saw my tweet, and it was like, the moment he hits a three, it's a wrap.
Yeah.
Because he was already driving and taking it to the hole. He was taking it to the paint. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to Crystal PGB. Thank you so much. So she, you know, she's the number one Lakers. She's a Lakers girl. Mm-hmm. And she shot us out. So the Lakers will probably be going up 3-1 tonight. I think the Lakers are going to be going up 3-1.
If Chris Paul is playing, they might. I know the last game was definitely chippy.
But Chris Paul was also beat up.
Yep, Chris Paul is beat up. And I think Chris Paul is the biggest reason why the Suns were able to get to where they are. So losing him is huge.
They play tomorrow too, by the way.
Do they?
Yeah. They play. They have. So they play on Sunday. They must play after I wonder if they play after because the Celtics play at 7, right?
So they take. Yeah, that's right. They have I think they play at 10:30.
So because they're back in LA. So I think they get the late game.
They get the late game. So I think it's going to be chippy. But also, because they don't have that veteran leadership from Chris Paul, that I think that it kind of caused them to have the breakdown that they did on the last game. So that's why Devin kind of got into that chippiness with Schroeder and stuff. I think Chris Paul kind of keeps them calm, right? And because they don't have that now, they were kind of a little bit all over the place. I'm thinking they might fight it out, but I'm agreeing probably that they're going to go up. Lakers are going to go 3-1. I think Lakers kind of, I called the Suns first before Chris got hurt. I think the Lakers might take this now because they need Chris Paul. They just do.
Yeah. He's the glue to their team. Other than that, they can just probably score. But when you're playing against juggernauts, it's kind of hard. And speaking of glue to the team, Marcus Smart.
I love him and I trust him.
So here's the thing about Marcus Smart.
Yep.
You know, and I know people will get mad when we talk about, or when I mention things about him being expendable. Now, I believe Marcus Smart is a free agent, right? I believe he's going to be a free agent this season, if I'm not mistaken.
Are we in his fourth year of his, I think.
Is it the third or fourth year of the deal?
I think this is the third year.
All right.
I'm so positive. He may have one more year
on his deal. Let's see. We do have his bird rights, though. He'll be a free agent in 2022.
That's what I thought, yeah.
So he'll have one more year.
Yep.
And so he's the glue to the Celtics.
I just can't see, honestly, unless Danny's getting something absolutely fantastic, I just can't see Danny moving away from Marcus.
Yeah, he would have to get, like, a phenomenal scoring threat. And then figure out defense from somewhere else. Because Marcus Smart is going to give you the defense all day. Yep. It's not even about his D. It's about the way he scores. And I mean, the way he's able to defend. And then all of a sudden, he can turn it on. You piss Marcus Smart off, he'll go on a scoring spree. And that's the one thing I like about Marcus Smart. And that's what you saw last night.
Right.
You saw that last night.
His heart. Like, Marcus really has a love and a passion for being a Celtic and being in Boston. And you can see it. Like, he's like a fight a dog anyway. And I think he said it yesterday, like, we weren't trying to go down 3-0. If Marcus was going to have to drag that team to a win, Marcus was going to drag the Celtics to a win last night. So it was going to happen regardless. Because there was no way they were trying to get swept. 100%. No way. And it's that kind of DNA that you cannot always get from players. And for us to lose that would be huge. Like, it's not even the scoring. It's just who Marcus is, that you want him on a championship contender. Because no matter how it goes all the way through the regular season, when it's postseason time, Marcus is gonna kick it up. And I don't remember who had, someone posted his numbers. I think game one, Marcus did 19 or 17. Game two, he did 19. Last night, it was 23. Like, Marcus is ramping up. And that's a good thing, again, because Kemba's not. So because Marcus can do that, that will allow us to stay in games when we could be in trouble because we don't have Kemba hitting like he's supposed to. So I just can't see them moving on from him. Like, he's got it. Danny would have to get an absolutely phenomenal player, like a Cat Williams, Carl Anthony Towns, a big name for him to give up Marcus Smart.
See, I don't think he has to get a big name for a Marcus Smart. I don't think, no, I think he can get a guy like Lou Williams, a guy like, you know, so now you're talking about guys that can come off the bench, that understands the role of the bench and could come in, and now you won't skip a beat, you know, when your starters go out. I think the issue with the Celtics, and we talk about it and we see it, like last night, this guy right here, like Jason Tatum, he was the smartest player on the court at all times. And what do I mean by that? Well, he found the mismatch every single possession, whether it was a big and that was slower, whether it was smaller like Kyrie, like when it was KD, he knew to pass the ball. Like, he found the right play. You know what I'm saying? And so he found a way to dominate, you know? And I think him scoring 50, I would say that Jason Tatum has finally been activated. He wasn't activated in game one. He gets hurt in game two. And then in game three, I think he's activated. So when we talk about game four and we preview game four, they're going to have to figure out how to counter him, because he can do exactly what Kevin Durant does.
Yep.
Do exactly what Kevin Durant does, and probably a little bit more. He's a better post player, I think, than Kevin Durant.
Yep.
But Kevin Durant is still the assassin. I'm not saying he's better than the assassin. I'm just saying he can do some things. And so if they go toe-to-toe, like, that's one thing. And then we got to figure out how to counter their other parts. But here's a cool stat by StatMuse. Youngest players with 50-point playoff game in NBA history, Rick Barry. He was, 23 and 21 days old. Michael Jordan, and then Jason Tatum, all at the age of 23. Rick Barry would be the youngest. Yep. Jason Tatum would be the oldest of the youngest, man. That's a cool stat. And here's what pissed me off. Somebody posted this, and this didn't make me upset.
Yep.
It was the comments in that. And so Jason Tatum is now, this is by SportsCenter, Jason Tatum is now the only player in NBA history to drop 50 points in regular season, play-in tournament,
and
playoffs. And when I tell you they started trashing him because of the playoff, play-in tournament. Oh, we've never had a play-in tournament before. That's, you know, but we have one.
We had one last year.
He did what he needed to do to get his team into the thing. And so you have to count that. Then they tried to talk about how that was against less superior teams. Well, this team is playing to get into the playoffs. So,
Both of you playing to get, like, regardless, when people talk about less superior teams and everything, they're all NBA teams. So they can have a hot night. The Wiz could have got hot and we would be having a different conversation. Like, you can't just say,
Philly.
Huh?
We'd be playing Philly right now.
Yeah, we'd be playing Philly, huh? Yeah, we would.
But you're right. Like, had they, you know, heated up, had Bradley Beal hit shots and they figured out how to get the ball to Bertans where he usually hits his threes and it just didn't fall right for them that night.
It would be different. So I just don't like that when Jason Tatum does something, it's always some excuse about why it's not phenomenal. Yeah. And I think that's terrible because he in my opinion, is the future of this league, just as much as Luka is, just as much as Trae Young is, just as much as Ja Morant is. He brings his own bit of history. And it's not like the stuff that he's only doing is historic to our franchise. It's starting to get to the point where it's historic to the NBA in itself. So
I agree.
It's great all the other players can do this and everything else, because in most cases, those other players are the primary scorers on their team. So yeah, they should be doing this. Jason Tatum's doing this with a Jaylen Brown on the other side when he's healthy, doing what he's doing. And he's still able to be that star. And it's sad that he doesn't get as much credit as he will, but young man going to be top dollar superstar. He's already started 23. I mean, 2 more years, he'll be in his prime. I'm scared about what he'll be able to do in 2 years. Like, this is the level that he's at. He's amazing. And he's ours. Like, it's crazy now. When JT first came out, nobody wanted to give him no credit. Kuzma was better. This person was better. Lonzo was better. Where are they now? Look at Jason Tatum now. Now Laker fans are like, oh, Jason Tatum's going to come to the Lakers. Jason Tatum, he wants to be here. I saw somebody, I posted a meme with him in a Knicks uniform. Nah, bruh is a Celtic. He is ours, and I think Danny knows what he has in both him and Jaylen. He's going to be smart about this. He just has to do the right moves this offseason to be able to offset and kind of build up what we got going. Like, it's like tweaks, I feel like. Just small little tweaks that we need to make adjustments to get us where we were as being like one of the top 4 teams in the East. So I'm excited. Like, even going through, we got a couple more games. Hopefully we can beat the series, but I'm excited to see what he's going to do in the offseason, and I can't wait to see where Jason is going to be next season. Like, it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. It's bananas.
Let's look at point 50, like when he hit the 50 point. I mean, it's a sidestep move, man. It's like I jab step with the left. I make you think I'm going to shoot it. I bring it back down. You come back closer, and I still shoot it. And
the confidence he had to shoot that shot. Like, you could see he knew it was going in. It just was absolute, I already know, this game's over. I'm just putting the icing on the cake. That's it. Like, this is me feeling myself. And he felt himself. And he honestly deserved that moment after all, honest, like the mauling and everything he got. And another cool thing that I saw on Twitter, and I meant to send it, but they were talking about of the 50 points that Jason Tatum had, 31 of them were off a double team. So he was scoring with people having close, like, attention on him, and he was still scoring. If he's able to do that, that tells me, like you said, Jason has been activated. So now at this point is nobody can guard him.
He's been activated. And I think, I still feel like they're not giving him his props.
Nope.
I mean, because even Kevin Durant and Kyrie were talking about Langford and all the other players, like, yeah, you know, they hit shots that they weren't supposed to hit. Like, you know what I'm saying? Listen, real should recognize real. I think Kevin Durant is... I don't care if the Celtics don't even win the championship this year. I want us to beat Brooklyn.
Yes.
I want us to take that juggernaut and break that the heck up.
Yep. Because I feel like there's a lot of disrespect there. And I think...
Very much so.
You know what I mean?
Even it starts with Kyrie. Like, it starts with Kyrie Irving. Because Kyrie... And I'm not saying this to bash him or anything like that. Kyrie was a free agent. I want everybody to get that through their thick skull. Yeah. He was a free agent. He was free out of his contract to go wherever the hell he wanted to go. We have to understand that.
Yeah.
Okay? Players do that. It's called money. They got families. So I understand that. I don't respect the way he did it, but I understand it. Like, you get what I'm saying?
Yep.
Kyrie clearly built the team he wanted to be in Brooklyn, from the role players to the same way LeBron James did it in Cleveland. I wonder where Kyrie learned it from.
I wonder where.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Now, the cool thing about this is, like I'm saying, it starts with Kyrie, and now you can start to see it piling up, and then they all of a sudden acquire a James Harden, like, before even the mid of the season, right? Because Harden won it out of Houston. and then they bring in another, like, talk about big three. This has to be the most prominent big three of them all. And the crazy thing is they haven't played together all season because they've all been hurt at different times, and Kyrie taking sabbaticals and whatever. And so they still finished second in the East. And the fact that we were able to counterpunch them in off yesterday, I think, is the formula on how you beat this team. What did I say? What did I say week one? Who do you let do their thing? Who name the player that I say let do their thing?
I got to remember waiting so many days.
Who was the player I said force him to play ISO ball? Force him to score? James Harden. I said it and I meant it because if you can take out the bench, which is the reinforcements, you can't take out Kevin Durant. But if you could take out Kyrie Irving, now that's 20 plus points you're not getting anymore. And Kyrie was off his game. He was getting wide open shots, but the boos or whatever, I can't wait to hear what we have 5,000 boos. I can't wait till we up that by 12,000 more. It's going to be crazy
17,000
tomorrow.
17,000 boos tomorrow.
17,000. And you better be one of them because you're supposed to be at that game, right?
Ooh!
That's what I'm talking about. All right. And so let's listen to what our coach Brad had to say about the phenomenal young rising superstar, Jason Tatum. That, I mean, it's amazing,
right?
Your coach comes out and says he's special, and I don't want to say the word special, but that's what he is. You know, he's special.
He's special. And like I said, his court vision, it's gotten so much better this season. I just him being able to, I mean, because remember, he's scoring these points, but he's also dishing out dimes. He's also rebounding. He's also stealing. He's also doing blocks. Like, Jason is such an all-around player that it just, it just doesn't even, like, you feel like you're just not even giving him enough. And I just, like, I don't think, and I'm glad, I think he had done something and he had basically said he doesn't really care what anybody thinks. It's about what his family feels and thinks about him. And you can see that when he's with Ducey, how important it is when he wins games like that. I think him seeing and having Deuce on the court kind of amps him up too, because, you know, he said he loves playing in Boston. That's where he feels most comfortable on that court. I think having Deucey there as well kind of gives him that amped up energy. And it's just, we're blessed. That's all I'm saying. We're blessed.
Wait a minute, Switch plays. We are blessed. I will say that. And shout out to the Milwaukee Bucks. We would never, ever give them shout outs like that, but they did sweep the Miami Heat. So if you're a Miami Heat fan, hit the road, Jack, and don't you come back no more, no more, no more, no more.
Cancun.
Did he just say, sorry, I'm late, but Jason Tatum who?
Who is this?
That's my man. I think he's playing with us. Peachy said she knew it. She said she knew. I will say Peachy did say that the Bucks were going to get, we're going to sweep the Heat. And I kept saying, nah, the Heat know how to play in the playoffs. They
handed it to them.
I expect that team to be blown all the way up come next year. If you thought Duncan, I call him Duncan Pender Hughes. What's his name? Duncan what? Duncan Hines? Duncan Robinson. Dag nabbit.
No, is that Duncan Robinson?
Is that the name? Duncan Robinson?
Duncan Robinson. Is it Duncan Robinson?
They tried to trade him last season. They might try to trade him this season. Or Tyler Hero. One of them guys are going to be gone.
Yeah, I think. And then I think it's weird because I know everybody was making a big, huge deal about Miami Heat last year. And they did do a big things in the bubble. But it's amazing how, again, when you're talking about development, like, I really thought Hero and Duncan were about to come out and, like, set the whole NBA on fire. Like, they struggled this year. And
those dudes were supposed to be, like, And they're deadly. I will say Duncan is a deadly shooter, though.
Yep, they can.
I would take him.
That's what I was going to ask you. Would you take Duncan Robinson?
Oh, hell yes. Who do you want? Who do you want, Miami? You want how many? I would give up 3 first-round picks for a 3-point specialist like that.
I would.
Because then hear me out. We would have a guy that fits Danny Ainge's prototype of a player. What are the type of players he likes? Tall wings. Like, he likes wings. I don't know why. He must eat a lot of chicken.
He must eat a lot of chicken, right?
But think about it, though. Hear me out. Would be so dope if they brought him in, because now you get that Joe Harris type of guy. He doesn't have to start. Remember Ray Allen?
Yeah.
It would be there all day. Run off the screen, off the top, shoot over the... Oh, man. The Celtics are missing that. They try that. They implement that. They just don't have the shooters for that.
They don't have the shooter. I would agree with you. I would take Duncan Robinson for sure.
They should have gotten Harden, but they hung on to those two. We're talking about the two guys. We're talking about the two guys.
Can you imagine what the Heat would have been if they got James Harden, though? Like, now I wonder if they're looking back saying, crap, like, we probably should have taken James Harden. Like,
probably should have.
I mean, I am surprised. I honestly thought they had a chance, but I mean, I would have definitely, it wouldn't have been no question. Like, you want Tyler Herro and who? Go ahead, have a nice day. Take him on.
Yeah.
Come on down, James. Like, that was brain. Like, that's like common sense. Like,
common.
I don't know. Common.
But
I don't know.
They believed that they were going to be able to contest and get into the playoffs and then kind of like turn on the button. But Peachy was alluding to this earlier when we were talking about it. And she was like, yo, Milwaukee's different. And I didn't realize she made it mention that they added a point guard with size. Yep. And so when you get a guy like Drew Holiday on your squad, he makes a big difference. You know, he's not George Hill.
No, he's not Drew Bledsoe, Eric Bledsoe. I always get them confused now. He's not Drew Bledsoe. So like it I think that's what Giannis needed to be able to kind of open the floor up a little bit more for them. So he just wants to know, is Zach LaVine good for us as an option? Would we take Zach LaVine? Yes.
I don't know if I would take Zach LaVine, though.
What?
Because you already have a Jaylen Brown.
Oh, that's true.
I feel like they play the same thing. They're the same player.
We need more.
They both play the same style. I think Jaylen is more... He's more finesse with his three. I think he's a better three-point shooter than Zach LaVine.
Yeah.
I think that the Celtics going forward, you know, whenever it's said and done, they need to get three-point specialists.
Yep.
The game is a three-point game. And if you don't want Jason Tatum to be taking those three-point shots all the time and Marcus Smart pulling up, shooting threes, because I cringe every time he shoots.
I'm like, Marcus! Oh, okay. I always do Marcus! No,
like
okay.
That deep, long-range extending three he hit yesterday.
That 26-footer, the one when he was logo, I literally...
And got fouled, remember?
Yes, my heart stopped because I'm like, oh my God, why did he do that? And when it went in, I was like, he looked like Jaylen for a second. That was amazing.
You better not. You talking. All right, now I put together a nice little montage of Tatum's 50-point moments, and let's see how it came out. That boy, he's what's the word, Brad Stevens used? Special? I forgot.
He's special. That boy good. That's one of those coming to America moments. That boy good.
Now, if you're just tuning into the show and you don't know what happened last night, Jason Tatum's went out to McDonald's and he grabbed himself a 50-piece nugget for $9.99. I think they still $9.99.
It's still $9.99.
All right.
You now, actually got 10 extra nuggets because it normally stops at 40.
40. You know what I'm saying? Now, the cool thing is, if you guys are, you know, watching your weight and eating, counting calories, whatever, you know, it serves 50 pieces. So you can eat 10 nuggets and it's only 470 calories. Yeah. That might be a snack. I might have to get on the way home from a gig or something. Give me a 50 piece and just divide it up into 5 eats or something like that. You know what I'm saying? But, so Jason Tatum went out and cooked last night, you know. Yeah. And so Peachy says that the Nets didn't see that coming. And that's important. Like, because I think now, you made an interesting point. You said he did a lot of this throughout the double team. And so we always talk about, gosh, we can't defend Kevin Durant. Like, no one can. No one in the league can. All you can do is play good defense and hope that his shots don't fall.
Yep. That's about the best you can do. But, like, now you're saying the same conversation about Jason, right?
Exactly.
Saying the same thing. Like, we're going to send. I mean, literally, when you, like, he had two defenders on him and then a guy waiting behind those two defenders just in case he tried to drive into the paint. Like, they literally had all eyes on Jason. So they, I'm sure, knew in a way that it was coming. That's how they were able to kind of slow him down game one and game two. But I just think that Jason made a conscious decision. Like, I don't care how many shots I'm taking. I'm winning this. I need to be me. And he just let it fly. And I think that was awesome.
I agree. My man MK49 says, although I'm a Warriors fan, I respect the Celtics, starting with Brad Stevens. He likes the coach, man. That's funny. And so I will say, because I wanted to make sure I gave Brad Stevens credit last night, because he called timeout when he needed to.
Yes, he did.
He changed up the rotation when he needed to.
And
he
brought in the right rotation. Player.
Exactly. Exactly. He made the right calls in the rotation when he needed to. And even when Brooklyn kept coming back and kept trying to fight, he found a way to get his players to do what they needed to do. He had the right players on the court at the right time. And so I think for the first time all season, I'm giving points to Brad Stevens, the coach. You know what I'm saying? Because I felt like he went out there and coached a hell of a game. And, you know, being home definitely helps. Now, we're going to talk about our star of the game. I knew there was a image that I forgot to send. So I'm going to let you talk a little bit about this player, Tristan Thompson. Yeah. Tristan Thompson is what I kept trying to tell people.
That this is him.
He lives for these moments. Yeah. Keith.
He does. Like, Tristan yesterday for me was the Tristan that I'm used to seeing when it was playoff time and you got to come up and you're watching the Cavaliers come up and winning. That's the Tristan that you see. The one that's super hyped, overly energized, extra excited, like really fighting. Like some of those dunks he made yesterday, I'm like, where was this all season? But I forgot. He doesn't, I honestly want to say, he's just not as engaged in the regular season. But when it's playoff time, you get this whole different beast and animal that really likes to fight. He is so hyped right now. And I'm like, some of his quotes last night just about tomorrow and being in front of all of our fans and really getting a chance to play up there. I think that right there is fuel to Tristan Thompson's fire. Like, that's what makes him want to get out there and just be extra. He was running yesterday, even after he made his defensive shots and offensive rebounds, all in the court area, giving his little big man thing. That's Tristan. But that's who we need right now, especially with Rob being hurt. This is the Tristan that Danny was expecting. I think the rest of us that have been watching knew that this was coming. Like, I was totally expecting postseason Tristan to come out and be a hot box for us.
Tristan Thompson was giving me my man Marcus Morris vibes.
Yes.
You know, as far as energy, minus the 3-point shot. You're not going to get that from Tris.
Right.
But his energy out there was just like, yes.
He's a very, like, he's that nasty in the post, we need you to do the dirty work type of the player, and he's not afraid to do it. That's something that Mook gave us so much. That's part of the reason why I miss Mook so much. Because Mook didn't care. Like, you know, he had that same move when he got into that little thing and he was going to ice ball you up. But when it came on the defensive end, he wasn't like afraid to take those hard fouls or be able to put the body and, you know, be that person. He didn't care. Like, that was just Mook. So you're right. Tristan is very much so what we need in the threes.
I agree 100%. Listen, 19 points, 1 assist, 13 rebounds. Tristan Thompson is our Seabreeze Stars player of the game. Not only is he the Seabreeze Stars player of the game, guess what award he won after the game?
What did he win?
Tommy Award, baby! Yes, Tristan Thompson wins the Tommy Award.
Excellent.
And it was funny listening to him speak because, I mean, I've heard him speak before, but I didn't know he sounded the way he sounded. So let's go ahead and listen to his press conference. Leprechauns, Keish. He has been waiting. He came to Boston because of the fans.
I think so. I really think so.
Remember, he played his. He was in Cleveland, right?
So he knows. I mean, it's not like he doesn't know what that energy feels like. But
he does not. No. Let me correct you. He knows exactly what their energy feels like because whenever he came to Boston to play Boston,
yeah,
he did not like the negative vibe he was getting from those fans.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's true.
And so he signed to Boston knowing, yo, if we could get it in here,
yeah,
and I get this game, man. And so you talk about when the lights come on.
Yes. You see him like, he's basically like having one of those Tyrone Bigger moments. I can't wait till Sunday. I can't wait till Sunday. He's talking about like, Tristan literally for the last, at least the last 3 months, every time they do a presser, I can't wait to get some fans. We need to tell Charlie to let us get some fans. Now he knows he's about to get that energy tomorrow. Oh my God, dude is like so hyped. He probably couldn't sleep last night, can't sleep today.
Right. He better get some sleep because I need him and the same energy. Now, let's go ahead and we're going to preview a little bit and then we'll get up out of here. We're going to preview the next game. So we're playing Brooklyn. They're still in Boston, right? And so do you think that Brooklyn is going to try to switch up anything? Would they add anybody new to the rotation? I know who I think they're going to put in the rotation, but what are your thoughts on that?
I'm wondering if, because I know, I think, what's his name? Brown? I can't remember his first name. I think they maybe try to muse him a little bit more. I mean, they literally were trying to throw as much as they could at us, and we were able to, like you said, respond. I don't know how much more adjusting you can make than what you made yesterday, right? Like, you had Claxton out there, who's normally a beast. You have Blake Griffin, who played a little bit better defense than he did game one and game two, but we still were able to, you know, get him in the wrong spot at the right, I mean, the right spot, right time, wrong spot, right time kind of thing, and be able to kind of feed off of his little lapses. But I honestly don't know how much more of adjustment you can make. I mean, if everybody's, I mean, shooting and doing what they're supposed to do, it's just going to be a dogfight. Like, who do you think they're going to try to bring out to try to bring up some fire?
I think because of the type of game that Tristan Thompson had offensively,
mm-hmm.
as far as, you know, getting offensive rebounds, I think we're going to see a little DeAndre Jordan action.
You think they're going to DJ out?
I think they do. I think they try to cool him down just a little bit. You know what I'm saying? They tried to bring in Bruce Brown Jr., McCullough, and I think he didn't hit any big shots.
No.
But he did come in to help them, help their comeback, though. He was a part of the
He was
the
a comeback. Part of it.
Jeff Green didn't play, so Jeff Green may be back this game. Who knows? We don't know. We don't know the status yet.
Yeah, 10 days.
Oh, is it 10 days?
Because he's got some plantar fasciitis, I think.
Oh, okay. So he has turf toe too.
No, he's got, that's worse. It's flat foot. Like, I have it. It's like when your arches fall and starts hurting, well, it's very hard to recover.
You have the worst feet in the NBA, been playing for 55 years on 20 teams. And speaking of injuries, this guy.
Is he
We don't know if he's out yet, but he does have an ankle sprain, a high ankle. I don't know if it's a high ankle sprain or an ankle sprain, but it was enough of an ankle sprain to keep him out of the remainder of the game. He only played 6 minutes.
Yeah.
And so what are your thoughts? Like, Robert Williams, man, like, you saw him come in the game, you know, give Tristan Thompson a break.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, he was like, we had energy.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, he gets hurt, but the Celtics found a way to keep countering. They kept punching. You know, when once they got that lead, it was pretty much like, you know, even though they lost it, they figured it out. And that was the majority without Robert Williams. Have the Celtics figured out how to play without Robert Williams?
I think so. That's why he was able to pull Grant in to play a little bit more small ball. Because, again, Grant, he does bring, like you already called it, he brings a different kind of energy, I think. And when he's focused like he was yesterday, he's actually pretty good. I think I saw you tweet that he's good when it's with the starters. Or so I saw someone that tweeted that.
Yeah,
he plays really good small ball with the starters, and he helps to be able to kind of spread the ball out a little bit more. Again, like he would be okay. And I think we found out yesterday, if we lost Rob, let's say for the rest of the series, that we could still be able to contend and be all right.
All right. So I guess she said that he's indeed out for game four also. I was looking for the injury report earlier today, so I must have didn't get it in time.
Yeah.
And so I guess Robert Williams will be out. And so I do like that. And so you know what helps? What's helping Grant Williams in that situation? Jeff Green being out. Because now that Jeff Green is out, you don't have to play Jabari Parker.
Yeah, exactly.
We're talking about size. And so when they go with their offense out there, Grant is a better rotational defensive player.
Yep.
And he's a little smaller.
Yeah, and he didn't look uncomfortable. He really looked comfortable being in that spot, playing in that role. So, like, it wasn't like he did anything. I mean, he did do actually a couple of good things, but I think it's just what he was able to feel confident in that space. And as long as he's in that confident space, you get good Grant Williams. And I think that, in my opinion, he would be a great person to come off the bench since we don't have Rob now. I kind of knew Rob was going to be out when they said that he was in a boot last night. I was like, that's bad.
So right.
I kind of set myself up for it. And I know Rob, you know, he was trying to say before he was playing through the pain, which he probably has been, but Seth Curry. I didn't think about Seth Curry. Peaches? Is that Peaches?
Oh, no, that's my man, McCoy. That switch plays 49. He's you guys. I don't care who the shooter is, McCoy. We just need a shooter.
Do you think somebody like Reddick?
I wanted JJ Redick, but he was too much money. We couldn't sign him in the offseason. And so then we were trying to get him through that trade. Should you have the rotation of Tristan plays power forward? No.
No.
Taco's not ready.
Yeah, no. He would get eaten up. Taco would get eaten up. I mean, I know he's a big body, and I know his length and everything, but he moves too slow. His feet, he still looks like he's running in cement. I would put Luke Kornet over before I would put Taco.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
At least you'll get some rim protection.
Yep.
Right? He's a smaller player, but they don't have bigger players. I don't know why you wouldn't play Luke either, and Luke can stretch the defense out a little bit. Like, he can stretch him out.
Like, I know he hasn't been hitting his three, but he has the potential to hit the three. And it still would force Claxton, let's say, them to have to pull Claxton out. And that opens up, you know, more for maybe, like, we were talking about Kemba doing more drives.
Which is what we need.
We forgot to talk about Kemba. But if Kemba had that area open where he could get through the paint and be able to do more drives, you would bring out a Luke Kornet to have him pull Claxton out of that paint and, you know, give our guys more inside ability and more time to be able to get some shots up. By driving. So I would definitely put Luke Kornet in before Taco. Like, Taco, I know everybody loves him. He's a fan favorite. But in this instance, we're trying to win, and we need to be able to bring what should be the best matchup. And Taco would not be a good matchup.
Absolutely not.
Claxton would eat. He would feast.
Absolutely not. I mean, Claxton, he's a young he's a strong young fella. Like, you know what I'm saying? I mean, he be putting body, he be getting his body up on Tristan a little bit, but Tristan ate that kid up yesterday. Tristan took over in the big man game, and this is why I said you may see a little bit of DeAndre Jordan because of size. And so if Tristan's
going to... DeAndre Jordan out, do we know? Is he injured or something?
No, they're just not going with him. And the rotations, they're just not going with them. They feel like they can outshoot the Celtics out of the gym, which they probably can. If they're all hitting, it's a wrap.
The only person who wasn't hitting last night, though, was Joe Harris. Kyrie was off, but didn't Kyrie still have like 20-something points? 16 points.
Yeah, I mean, Kyrie was off, but he didn't get most of his buckets until like the fourth quarter.
Exactly.
You know, he didn't get his buckets to the fourth quarter. Kyrie finished with 16. He played 41 minutes. He played the most for them. He's going to have to go out there and give him another 40 minutes. But he only had 2 assists. He did have 6 rebounds. James Harden was their guy. He was scoring at will. And so was Kevin Durant. They were scoring at will. But my point is, Keish, if you take everybody else out, look, Blake Griffin, 4 points. Joe Harris, 8 points. Shamet, 0 points. Claxton, 4 points. Bruce Brown, 2 points. Tyler Johnson, 5 points. You get what I'm saying? Their bench is gone. Like, that's the issue. That's why I say, let James Harden, he's going to do what he has to do. Don't get in foul trouble. Let Kevin Durant's going to score. You don't even got to let him. He's going to find ways to score. That's what Kevin Durant does. But if you could limit and keep Kyrie under 20, and you're not getting 20 or 15 from Joe and 15 from Blake, that's how they beat us in game 2. Plus, Tatum went out before, what, the third quarter, I think? We got his eye poked out. Like, yeah. Like, and that's all that was.
The other part I noticed, which was interesting, was Kyrie was trying to do the same thing that he did when we had the series when he was with the Celtics with Giannis. He was trying to guard Tatum the same way he was trying to guard Giannis. And it was kind of interesting to me because I'm like, that's why he's off. He's doing the same thing. Like, he wants to guard the best player, even though he's probably not the best matchup for that player. So after, like, Tatum started cooking him a little bit, I thought they were going to do an adjustment, but he kept coming back to it. I didn't understand it.
Hey, man, hey, it is what it is. And I appreciate it because Tatum has size. He was able to shoot over. He was able to get in the rhythm. Now, we're going to end the show on these, you know, we're going to talk about the refs and we're going to get up out of here.
We already know Kemba had a bad game.
And so I'm sure he'll find a way to turn it on. He's a professional player. But if he is injured and the injuries is lingering, he definitely needs to stop shooting the threes and take those mid-range shots. He still has the bounce for mid-range shots, but maybe not the bounce for the long-range shots. And so that's my little spill on Kemba Walker. Now, 2 plays that I felt like could have cost the Celtics the game. There were 2 calls, all right? Obviously, these were late in the game. And let's do the first one. The first one is going to be called a foul on Aaron Nesmith. Now, I want you to watch it. And it's James Harden. And then let me know what you think.
Yep.
And so as we're sitting here watching this.
Yep. Do you see how he grabs his arm?
How do you hook a person's arm and it be called a defensive foul?
Exactly.
Okay, ref, how am I supposed to put my hands up if the freaking offensive player is holding my hand?
And there's a ref right there. This is what this, but that's how he gets his grip. That's how he's able to get it. So I don't know if it's the ref on the opposite side who can't see the hold on the arm, but James Harden does that a lot. That hook thing to me is just not it's just the worst way to try to get a foul. If you're going to collect it, I'd rather see the shot where you bump off the body or whatever. But actually hooking a player and an official on the other side didn't see that is BS. It's BS. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. And he's been doing this all series. I wonder, has he been doing this all season? Like, is that his thing? Because I don't
pay attention to him like that. Mm-hmm. All I know is I saw it in the game and I said to myself, it's stupid. Just like my man McCoy. It is stupid. It's like, come on, refs, give us a free ball. And remember, we were winning these games, and so these are momentum foul calls.
Yep.
Okay, the ones that can switch. If the Celtics don't find a way to stay on course, it could totally change the dynamic of the game. And here's the last one. Now,
I feel so mad at that one.
Hold on now, because they called this an offensive foul.
Mm-hmm.
They went to review it. They overturned it and called it a blocking foul. Let's watch it one more time. Help me understand how that's a block.
So, in my opinion, Kevin Durant and his mechanics in motion put himself in a place where he was coming at his defender. So he could have easily kind of gone around Marcus. He didn't have to have the body contact, which I thought would be considered an offensive foul because you didn't have to go shoulder down and shoulder in to Marcus. Like, that's what it's always been. I've seen that play I don't know how many times, and it's been called the same way. Am I crazy?
No, because Marcus Smart, well, Marcus Smart says, he said in his interview, he said in his press conference, he says, well, they said my feet weren't set. And I'm like, like, your feet weren't set because you got pushed. Am I the only one that sees Kevin extend a little bit?
A little bit? Did we all see that?
Well, it was enough of a bit, Queen, because they called it an offensive foul.
Exactly. But for you to go back to review and then look at it and say, no, that was actually a block, a defense. How? If he's extending, somebody saw that as an offensive foul. It's like, and then so not only did Kevin Durant get the shots, they also got the ball back. So like you said, huge momentum swing. Like, we could have lost the game if it was a closer game because of a call like that. And I feel like the officiating for this team has been like that since game one. Again, we go back to the same conversation. I don't know what the Celtics did to the refs. I have no idea if they just have a thing with the refs. I don't know. But some of these calls are lame. And it's kind of making it look like we want Brooklyn to win, so we're going to do it. Like, they already are a juggernaut. Do you really need the officials behind you to win too? Like, come on.
I mean, I wanted the Celtics to win by 9, 10, 11.
Yep.
Right? It would have sent a different type of a message.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't, due to some of the officiating. And, you know, I try not to talk about officiating. I try not to bring it up. I know we do it privately because it's just I'm sitting there looking confused. Like, how?
Yeah.
Like, how? Like, how is that not caught? Like, how is it that Kemba doesn't get called for any fouls? He doesn't get any calls, I mean, excuse me. He gets foul calls. He doesn't get any to where he goes to the free throw line anymore.
Yep. Like, when's the last time we saw Kemba on the free throw line? I mean, let's
say I don't know. I don't know. But my point is, in Charlotte, he got all the calls. And in Boston, he's getting none of the calls. Again, they had 8 more free throw attempts than the Celtics did. I mean, yeah. And, you know, I get it. James Harden is the king of drawing fouls. But at some point, come on, refs. Like, either let them play basketball and call the blatant ones or don't.
Or please do both sides. Like, don't have Harden be able to get this hook foul on one side. And then you see, like, Kemba or Marcus or Tristan even a couple of times getting mauled in the paint. And you're basically like, oh, we see nothing. Like, come on now. It's you got to be equitable. And I think it has to be fixed. Like, I know a lot of us will tweet the NBA officials and we'll tweet the NBA, but nobody wants to see the refs. We're here to watch a game. Like, I'm not here to watch the refs spend all day wanting to be at the replay machine because they're trying to figure out whether or not they want to give Brooklyn this call. I want to see them play and stop trying to stop momentum because, again, if you're already in, we were in a good rhythm, and then, boop, you get this crazy foul. It's like, you're killing the momentum, bro. Like, stop. Like, tomorrow's going to be ugly if they start that nonsense.
It is. That's why the Celtics got to come out guns blazing, all right? They got to get back on defense, and they got to continue to take away their bench. If they can take away the bench, because we're not getting a bunch of bench scoring on our team. If they could take away the bench of the Brooklyn Nets, meaning do not let Joe Harris get free three-point attempts. Now, I'm going to tell you this. If you watch Joe Harris play, he's the guy that they go to when they get in the transition. What do I mean by that? Well, if they get a turnover and they get the ball down to him real quick, he pops and shoots the three. That's where his 3 points come from. A lot of his threes come out in transition, you know. And so if they can eliminate that, A, eliminate turnovers. B, like, get back on defense. And then C, just continue to take quality shots by moving the ball. The Celtics will tie this series 2-2. Final thoughts.
Like you said, I'm excited. I'll be there tomorrow. I don't even know how I'm going to be able to handle that atmosphere, but I feel like they're in fight mode, and that's what we need them to be. They need to play the same game they played yesterday, with the hoping that Kemba gets kind of cooking as well. Keep getting what we got from Fournier. Keep getting what we got from Jason. Maybe taking so Jason doesn't have to drop another 50-point game to get us a win, but really still being able to let him keep staying in his rhythm. Let Marcus stay that facilitator and only make quality shots because he was feeling confident yesterday. And I think that's what worked. 21 assists is good for us. That means the ball was moving. And even us dropping, because I think the last game we had like 20-plus turnovers, now we're down to 13. Control the ball, take care of the ball, fight, 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 fight. That's all we need. And like you said, we're going up 2-2.
2-2. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for tuning in to Sea Breeze Podcast. Rep if you bleed green. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you on your Saturday spending some time with myself and the Queen. Ladies, we will be back probably doing a podcast at some point, probably this Monday. Make sure you tune in because the Nitty Gritty Niners podcast will be on Monday as well. There won't be a podcast, Nitty Gritty Niners. They're taking a break this week. So we will be able to do a Sea Breeze Podcast on Memorial Day. Listen, to all of our veterans and people that served and the armed services and all those different types of things like that, we definitely want to wish you and your families a happy Memorial Day. To everybody out there, please remember, celebrate, man, because if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't have this amazing country to live in. So happy Memorial Day out there. Thank you guys for tuning in. I'm your host, Wayne Breezy. She's your host, Queen. We're going to just call you the Queen. She's your Queen to be. You know what I'm saying? I like it. I like that.
I love it. That'll work.
Listen, Keish, enjoy the game tomorrow. Bring me back a souvenir. Let's go, Celtics. Make it 2-2. Sea Breeze. We out, y'all. Peace. Thank you so much for tuning in to the podcast. Please follow and subscribe on twitch.tv/WayneBreezy. Also on YouTube, YouTube/WayneBreezy.